Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Palm Sunday is a day of competing voices. Historically, and I mean by historically, well before I was alive, well before any of you were alive, well before the Missouri Synod even existed, the church had read the passion narrative from St. Matthew's Gospel just as we had today. We hear competing voices. On Palm Sunday, we hear as they cut down branches, as they lay their palms before him, as they lay their cloaks before him, and they cry out, "Save us now, O King, O Lord. Hosanna in the highest," they shout out. Even the lips of children singing his praise as we had this morning. We hear that story. We see Jesus riding in on a donkey as kings had before, showing that he was come not to wage war, but that he has come in peace. That he has come for a different purpose. Jesus came to wage war that day and that week, not against the people, not against sinners, but against sin. He came to give them that message one final time before he would be crucified, that he had come for them, for their sins. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But Jesus came for a purpose. So while we see this beautiful image of people laying down palms in their cloaks, shouting out, "Save us," we hear of what happened just that same week. We hear that there would be another group of voices, and that they would be whipped up to shout something dramatically different. They would not be shouting out, "Have mercy and save us." Instead, they would shout out, "Crucify him." It's a dramatic difference in those voices, isn't it? And yet, I will ask you, do we hear differing voices still today? Is it not true that this very morning we will hear of what Jesus Christ has done for us? We will hear that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ took on the flesh of a man, was sent to earth, spent 9 months in the womb of a virgin, and then lived a perfect life to go to death for us. That Jesus died for the sins of the world. But as you know, he did not stay dead. Not even death could hold him. For that Jesus is risen. He is risen and he is reigning until he returns to judge the living and the dead, not on a colt, not on a donkey, but on his war horse. That is one of the messages that you hear. That is the message that is proclaimed from this pulpit because we stand on the Word of God. You will hear that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus. You will hear that he has come to save you from your sins. You will hear that he has washed you in the blood through the baptism. You will hear that he gives us his supper, and in his supper he gives his own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And that when we receive it in faith, in repentance, we receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive it to the strengthening of our life and toward eternal salvation. You will hear that there is right and that there is wrong. You will hear that God has made them male and female. You will hear that marriage is for life between a man and a woman. You will hear that life is precious from conception all the way through natural death. Why will you hear these things? Because this is what God proclaims. Those are only part of the voices that are raging in our world today. Keep in mind how dramatic things have gotten. You will hear not a message that marriage has been created by God, but that marriage can be whatever you want it to be, that love can be whatever you want it to be, with whom or whatever you want it to be with. We live in a culture that tries to shout down those who would stand for life. We live in a country that will arrest people for praying in front of a murder building, for praying that God would deliver this scourge upon his people, that God would save us. They would be arrested for that and face up to 10 years in prison for standing in the way of murder, for praying, for singing hymns, for worshiping together. We have people that will shout you down if you hold to what God's word actually teaches. We hear voices that cry out, morality is whatever you want it to be. Perverseness is healthy. It is good. And if you do not celebrate it, then you are the one who is doing terrible things. Dear church, we hear these messages on a daily basis out there. This morning, we have 6 children who will receive the body and blood of Jesus for the very first time. And I can tell you, because I examined them with their parents and an elder, that they are so excited to receive this gift because they confess it. They know that they are sinners like you, like me. They know that Jesus Christ died for them. And they know that in this bread and in this wine, they receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Early on Good Friday morning, voices would be whipped out to cry out, crucify him. Instead, they would cry out that this Barabbas should be released instead of Jesus. And there's great irony there too. The name Barabbas means son of a father. And so they condemn the son of the father to death to free a son of a father who had done terrible things. They would cry out that the sinless man, the only sinless man who lived his entire life without sin, should be put to death, receive capital punishment, and that his blood would be upon them and their children. They cried that out. Let his blood be on us and on our children. And there's irony in that too, because we as Christians say that as well. Let his blood be on us and on our children. Let his blood wash over us and our children, that we might be forgiven, that we might be adopted into his holy family, that when the Father looks at us, he looks at children that he loves. There is so many things that wage war against your ears and the ears of your children. Raise them in the faith. Defend them from this godless world, a world that seeks to take them out of the faith. When you sit down, when you rise up, remind them of what Jesus Christ has done. Remind them that Jesus Christ did that for them because he loves them. It is heart-wrenching to read these gospel lessons of the mockery, the spitting upon, the abuse, and ultimately the nails through hands and feet, the crown of thorns, and ultimately the spear. It is hard to hear that Jesus did that for us, but that should remind us of how seriously God takes sin and how much he has paid for us. He has paid the full price. Our sins are so great, they are so wicked, they are so evil, that none of us, no matter what sin it is that we are struggling with, could find our way in heaven without Jesus Christ. It is by his grace, it is by the gift of faith that he bestows on us a gift given even in infants to receive Jesus. This week will be a hard week as we gather every day to worship Him. Not that worship is hard, but we will have to hear this story at least 3 more times this week so that we can get the full picture, that we can read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John what Jesus endured for our sins. We will journey with Him, but we will also journey with Him not just to a cross, but we get to journey with Him to an empty tomb. This week is hard, it is taxing, and it is heart-wrenching, but it leads to joy. It leads to celebration. These children who have striven so hard with their parents to be taught the faith will continue to learn the faith. They will continue to be instructed in their homes how to pray. They will continue to worship here week after week. They will sit down with their parents and me for 3 years and be instructed in the depth of the catechism and to learn the Old and New Testaments. And they will never stop. One of the terrible things that happened, and this was never intended by the church, is that we stopped. We somehow believed that this catechism, that this faith was something that was only good enough for us until 8th grade, and then it was a textbook to be put back on the shelf, not to be opened again. But your faith is a living and active faith. This is not just some textbook. It is a book that teaches us how to pray. It teaches us about what Jesus has done, and we never stop. This year, we have been reading through the Bible. I've encouraged you all to do that. And just last night, as I've read the Bible multiple times, I mentioned to my children that I was surprised at one of the things that I had forgotten. That as the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, had been there to deliver the message, He went up in the flame. The message said that very clearly in Judges, something I had forgotten. If we put the Bible away, not opening it, not letting it be a part of our lives, we lose so much. Don't put it on your shelf to collect dust. Keep it open, read it, learn it, inwardly digest it, mark it, and let it be living and active in you. Rejoice with these children and their parents, and then encourage them. They have taken upon themselves a very hard thing, and that is going against the world. But in the end, dear Christian, I will remind you time and time again, there is a reason to endure. As difficult as it gets, as hard as it is to live in this world, never forget that we win. In the end, we win because Jesus Christ has won and we are with Him. No matter how loud those voices rage in the opposite direction of the Word of God, they will be silenced. Because even then, even those who rejected, even those who cried out mockery, in the end, their tongues too will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, as we read in Philippians. They will confess with us. But at that point, it will be too late. At that point, they will confess Jesus, but it will be to their eternal judgment. This is why it is so important for parents to raise up their children in the faith. For a parent to train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is older, he shall not depart. This is a reason that you are a community, a family of believers that encourage one another. In the end, we win because Christ has won for us. The church sings, a lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of sinners bearing, and laden with the sins of earth, none else the burden sharing. Goes patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint, that spotless life to offer. He bears the stripes, the wounds, the lies, the mockery, and yet replies, "All this I gladly suffer." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.